Yeah, I will call this meeting the House Finance Committee to order and let the record reflect that the time is currently 10:08 a.m. on Monday, May 1st, 2023. And present today, we've got Representative Josephson, Representative Hannon, Representative Galvin, Representative Stapp, Co-Chair Representative Johnson, Representative Cronk, Representative Ortiz, Representative Colm, myself, Co-Chair Foster. And just a reminder, folks can mute their cell phones. This morning, we've got just one bill before us. It's Senate Bill 57, Medicaid Assistance for Adult Home Care. And it is my intent to move the bill if that is the will of the committee. And we do have a CS before us, and it is just to incorporate a technical change by request of the department. So just to put it before us today, I would ask for a motion to put the CS before us. And Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. I move that the House Finance Committee adopt the committee substitute for Senate Bill 57, Work Draft 33-GS1708/U, Gunmeyer, dated 4/28/23, as our working document.
Thank you, and I'll object for the purpose of an explanation, and I'd like to call up my staff, Mr. Brody Anderson, to explain the changes in version U. If you can put yourself on the record.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Brody Anderson, staff to Representative Foster. Co-Chair Foster, the committee substitute before the committee is technical in nature and by the request of the Department of Health. And each one of the changes relates to the piece of legislation that was added to this bill regarding the home and community-based services. There were four subsections that were deleted from the previous version of the bill. All of these deletions were requested by the department in cooperation with the original sponsor of the other piece of legislation that was added to this bill. The problem this resolves is the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, better known as CMS, has indicated we don't need their permission to implement Section 1 of the bill now. Section 1 is the entire portion of that new section on home and community-based services, which means that they will not require a state plan amendment or provide federal approval for the current trigger of that Section 1 to become law. But if the language stayed in the bill, it could impact the approval and implementation of those services. So the differences between the bill, to get a little bit more technical, is that in the previous version, which was known as /S.A, that came over to the committee last week, there was a Section 7A. That one was deleted, and this was the requirement for there to be a state Medicaid plan submitted. Then Section 8A and 8B were deleted. These were related to the conditional effective date for that new Section 1, and it had required that it would only go into effect if had been approved by federal law. And then finally, there was a portion of Section 9 deleted, which referenced Section 1, which would require federal approval to be listed in the state revisers for Section 1. Those few deletions are the only things that are different between the two versions of the bill. And that summarizes the changes.
Great. Thank you. And just for the record, also, we've got with us Representative Tomaszewski, and we also have before us the department. If we have any questions on these technical changes that were incorporated into the CS for the bill, Representative Galvin.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. I do have a question. I hope you can clarify it. And it could be that I just wasn't keeping up with you on the changes, but it sounds like some of this was related to effective dates and whether or not there is permission from the federal side or agreement that this program qualifies. Is that what it, is it for federal funding? Is that part of the reason that the changes were made?
Mr. Anderson?
Through the chair, Representative. The section that you might be referring to was the old Section 8A and 8B that were deleted. And this was conditional effective date that triggers the fact that Section 1 would go into effect only if it was approved by federal law. And CMS has indicated to the department they won't and need to get that approval from them to in order to implement it.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Foster. Follow-up would be, so when I think about another bill that we've looked at related to extending maternal care, the effective date we were surprised to hear is in 2025, and it was related to, in part, again, similar reasoning, I think, and I'm not sure, but because that's still fresh in my mind, I just want to make sure, Chair, that we are we're trying to make it easier for this to pass and in a more expedient way, as opposed to finding a longer track that would make it difficult. And it sounds to me like that is the way the changes in this case, this new CS has made. Is that correct? That it's to expedite and make it cleaner?
Mr. Anderson?
Through the chair, Representative, that is my understanding, but to get a definitive answer from the department, I know Mr. Newman is here if you want to hear directly from the department.
Mr. Tony Newman, if you can come up and put yourself on the record.
Thank you, Chair Foster. My name is Tony Newman. I'm the Director of the Division of Senior and Disability Services at the Alaska Department of Health, and Mr. Anderson has summed up the change well. Basically, the old language would have forced the department to try and seek an approval that we don't need, and to try and ask CMS to approve something that they don't need to approve would have certainly delayed the implementation of the bill.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate hearing that. It sounds like it was a wise move to make. Thank you.
Thank you. We've also got with us Representative Edgman. Do we have a question, Representative Staff?
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Foster, through the chair to our point of the Senior Disability Services Director. So without the need to amend the state Medicaid plan or apply for 1115 or anything like that, what's the timeline on this would be my question. I mean, it seems like we could enact this pretty quickly without having to do that.
Through the chair, Representative Staff, we still need to develop regulations. We need to change our regulations to allow for these changes in the bill. And we pledged to our stakeholders that we would do that through a good public participatory process where we get to hear their input.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions regarding the changes made in the CS, Representative Galvin?
Thank you. I wonder if you could, for those who are interested and anxious for this, share with us what a typical timeline would look like. That is inclusive of a good public process, just to give us a sense of that. Is it a year, 2 years, or what might that look like, or months?
Sure. To the chair, Representative Galvin, in our fiscal notes, we anticipate enactment of the bill on July 1st, 2024. The regulatory process takes longer than any of us would like, but we anticipate about 3 months of gathering public input, doing public webinars, and then getting through that regulatory process, which will include further public comment.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Do we have any further questions?
Yes.
Representative Josephson?
Through the chair, Mr. Newman, I think this came up last week, but could you remind me, by adding, I guess, SB 106 into this bill, this enables us to grow our workforce by paying individuals who live in families that receive the service, as I understand this. And my question is, what are the costs associated with that? Because the fiscal notes are pretty de minimis.
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, that's right. We don't anticipate an increased Medicaid services cost to implement either portion of this bill. And the new piece really is not creating any new eligibility. It's not making more people eligible for services. What it's doing is it's opening up a little bit wider availability of care providers by allowing people who currently are prohibited from being able to provide care and be reimbursed to provide that care, and now they'd be able to do it.
Okay. And just a follow-up?
Follow-up.
And the what does that cost?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, it's hard to say because every person's services are unique, of course, and how much they receive, but it's going to be a small subset of the recipients of the Community First Choice Personal Care Services, and we don't anticipate that being very many people. It's probably not going to make much of a dent because we've already allowed that under the pandemic, and we haven't seen an increase in costs.
Great. Thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing none, I will remove my objection for the adoption of the CS. And seeing no further objection, the CS version U before us has been adopted. So with that, the bill is before us. The bill, and maybe if we could just, for the public, just have a very short synopsis of what the bill does, and if there are any questions on the bill, or on the fiscal notes, we can take those before we entertain a motion to move the bill. Mr. Newman, can you just give a very short synopsis, summary of the bill?
Thank you, Chair Foster, and thank you to the members of the committee for hearing this legislation from the governor. Senate Bill 57 provides elderly Alaskans and people with disabilities with a new care option called adult home care. And that care option would be provided both through the creation of a new licensed residential setting called an adult care home and a service to go along in that setting called adult home care. The department will develop a process under which people can apply to deliver adult home care for people who are on Medicaid home and community-based waivers and receive adult home care, and a process through which providers would be able to be licensed and certified to provide that service. It also, thanks to the addition of language from Senate Bill 106, will allow currently prohibited individuals, known as legally responsible individuals, to be able to provide care under one of our programs called the Community First Choice or 1915K program. They'd be able to provide personal care services. That's been a flexibility that we allowed under the pandemic. We've seen that it's been a successful way to extend the ability for more people to provide care. And so this will allow that service to be allowed to be maintained permanently.
Great. Thank you very much. Do we have any questions on the bill or fiscal notes? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to move the bill. Co-Chair Johnson.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Senate Bill 57, Work-33-CSGS1708/U from House Finance Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Thank you. And hearing no objections, Senate Bill 57, Work-33-GS1708/U is reported out from House Finance Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. And if folks could stick around to sign the recommendation sheet. Thank you very much, Mr. Newman. So our next scheduled House Finance Committee meeting is today at 1:30, May 1st, and we'll be hearing public testimony and taking questions from departments on HB 66, which is the fentanyl bill, and then also HB 26, access to marijuana conviction records. Just in terms of pacing, May 17th is our last day of session, planned last day of session. And typically what happens is around 10 days out or so, the last 10 days of session, you would have the conference committee doing its work, which would mean some of the co-chairs would be away for that. And so so essentially that takes us to about May 8th, which is next Monday. So that leaves us this week to, we've got a number of two-a-day meetings, and then starting next Monday, Finance Committee will start to ratchet down and taper off somewhat. We'll be taking up some bills that are maybe priority bills or bills that, you know, we really need to get through. But for the most part, things will start to slow down a little bit. And at the same time, we do have a lot of bills coming up from the lower committee, so there's going to be a little bit of a pressure from folks to maybe try to get their bills heard. So it's going to be a little bit of a work to get through those last 10 days. But just want to give folks a sense of what we're looking at. We also have possibly the 24-hour rule kicking in maybe as soon as the end of this week, which means and 24-hour rule occurs when the Senate passes out its bill, sends it over to us. We don't concur, and the conference committee is set up. Once conference committee is set up, we go into the 24-hour rule, which means that you don't need to give advance notice a week in advance, or at least starting the prior Thursday for the following week's schedule. So bills can come up fairly quickly in that situation. So just want to let folks know. So with that, if there's nothing else to come before the committee, we will be adjourned at 10:23 a.m. Thank you.